Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue a rather lengthy series, what will be a lengthy series, and that is the grand and overarching subject in the Scripture, prophecies about the Messiah, messianic prophecy. And this series has been appropriately called then The Marvelous Messiah. The Marvelous Messiah. And so far, as we study the various subjects of messianic prophecy, all the different streams of prophecy that emanate from this great ocean of divine revelation concerning Messiah, we looked at prophecies about the Messiah's ancestry. And we do not look at these prophecies in a generalized fashion, but we do so knowing that they specifically point and are fulfilled in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, thus proving that He is Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. That's really the purpose of messianic prophecy, to point the individual to who the Messiah is. The messianic prophecies really are given to identify the Messiah. The Lord, the God of Israel, made sure that, first of all, Israel and then the world could recognize Messiah by certain identifying marks. These are described by the complete canon of the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, the Tanakh. Prophecies of Messiah are found in the Torah, the Law, the first five books of Moses. They are also scattered throughout the Ketuvim, the writings or the historical narratives, largely, of the Old Testament. And they are also found in the Navi'im, the prophets. And we have discovered that each of these messianic prophecies up to this point, history points and tells us that they are fulfilled in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And we will continue to see and prove this claim with the prophecies about His lineage, who He would come from, what family tree He would descend from. We've seen that already, starting with the seed of the woman, the seed of Shem, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, the seed of Judah. And now we are looking at how the prophets foretold that the Messiah would then come from the family of Jesse through his son Melech David, King David. And that brings us, or brought us last time, to the prophecy concerning Messiah as the stump of Jesse, found in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. We were talking about that prophecy last time and how it clearly reveals and predicts that the Messiah would come forth from the lineage of Jesse. Now, this is, again, not an interpretation that originated with the early church. It wasn't an invention by the Christian church. No, the rabbis, not only in the first century, but in the succeeding centuries following, have always looked at this, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, as a prophecy about the Messiah. The Targum of Jonathan says this in relationship to Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, when commenting on Isaiah 14, 29. From the children's children of Jesse shall proceed Messiah, and His work shall be among you as flying serpents. So here it's already assumed, even after Isaiah 11 has been considered for study that Isaiah 14:29, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or the author of the Targum of Jonathan, the Aramaic translation and interpretation of the Old Testament, this rabbi concludes that through the descendants of Jesse, the Messiah will come. And he further, the Targum of Jonathan further says, the Targum of Jonathan states again, "And there shall go forth a king from the sons of Jesse, and the Messiah shall be anointed from his children's children." And a more recent Jewish commentary on this passage is found in the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 8, page 506, Column 1. This is what these authors of the Jewish Encyclopedia say about the prophecy of the Messiah in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. They say, "The ideal king to whom Isaiah looks forward to will be a scion of the stock of Jesse, on whom will rest the Spirit of God. But through the name Messiah is of later origin, the idea of a personal Messiah runs through the Old Testament. The first prophet to give a detailed picture of the ideal king was Isaiah," and they quote Isaiah 9, 1 and 6, which is also Messianic prophecy. Well, actually, the first person to give us the idea about a kingly Messiah was not Isaiah. It was really given by God to Nathan during David's reign, when Nathan prophesied to David that out of one of his descendants would come a king who would sit on David's throne and make his rule one of everlasting duration. So, yeah, they're wrong about saying Isaiah was the first, but that's not the point here. The point is, they too say that the Messiah will come from the stock of Jesse. So you see that even in Jewish thought, among the rabbis, that they certainly looked at Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 to be a prophecy about the Messiah. And we read in this prophecy, God says, "A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." So the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, will be given to this descendant of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. And God chose one of his sons, David, his eighth and youngest son. But I want you to notice here that the emphasis in verse 1 is Messiah's. It's on Messiah's anonymous and lowly origin. Through the descendants of Jesse, this great figure would come on whom the Spirit of God would powerfully rest. Yet he would come in lowliness and humility. Now, a lot could be said for the Hebrew word here, branch. Branch, where the word can be translated netzar. And you know where I'm going with that. Jesus of Nazareth. Nitzarit, the place of the branch. Matthew tells us Messiah shall be called a Nazarene. That means he will come out of a lowly place, and like a branch that appears withered and unrecognized, it will bear fruit of great notoriety. And this would be true of David's lineage. At first, Jesse and his family were among the anonymous multitudes of ancient Israel. And yet, from this stump, from this branch which apparently has been cut down, now is dead and barren, suddenly a single shoot will remain, growing low, near to the ground, but eventually bearing fruit. Now, in this prophecy, David's name is not explicitly mentioned, but it uses the name of David's father, Jesse. And we told you before that the Messiah will be the root of Jesse. We said that that implies that the Messiah would be more than just a physical and male descendant of Jesse's family tree, but he will be the origin for Jesse's family history. And that would indicate that he, the Messiah, would be divine and therefore pre-existent, who would bring into existence Jesse and his lineage, through whom the human descent of Messiah would emerge as fruit from a dead, barren stump. But the prophet uses the name of David's father here instead of David. It's somewhat strange because in the prophetic scriptures concerning Messiah, David is normally mentioned and associated with kingship, which will be passed on to the Messiah. And we know that David's kingdom was far from ignoble and anonymous. No, it was the golden age of ancient Israel. David's kingdom was one of great material prosperity and political triumph. However, in David's youth, before he was called by God and anointed to be the king of Israel to succeed the apostate King Saul, whom God removed in the office of king of Israel, David was a poor shepherd boy, living in anonymity and relative neglect in the fields of Bethlehem, tending his father's sheep. So no doubt during the lifetime of David, the house of Jesse was raised from poverty in Bethlehem. Later, his house would receive great honor majesty in Jerusalem when his son David became king. But the emphasis of verse 1 is that although Messiah would be a descendant of David, he will not appear until the house of David has been once again reduced to what it was in the days of Jesse. And that would be virtually dead, non-existent, and inactive, without great notoriety. And this also the prophets agree with. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel and Amos said that after God punished Israel for their idolatry and disobedience, taking the kings of Judah who succeed David as his royal descendants, after they were taken off captive into Babylon, the kingdom of David would be broken down for many days. Many days meaning centuries. 2,500 or 25 centuries, meaning 2,500 years. This kingdom has been dormant, broken down, and not yet restored. However, the Messiah appeared, and he did not in his first coming restore the Davidic kingdom in its glorious reestablishment. No, that awaits Messiah's second coming. When James, quoting Amos in Acts 15, says, after God has taken out a people for his name from among the Gentile nations comprising the church, the body of Messiah, then Messiah will return. And what will he do? He will restore the tabernacle of David. But when the Messiah would come the first time, the kingdom of David will have already been in ruins, broken down, apparently dead and without a successor. And so, Isaiah is telling us that Messiah will not appear until the house of David has once again been reduced to anonymity and inactivity. And so verse 1 of Isaiah 11 concentrates on the lowly origin of Messiah at the time of his birth and first coming. And then when he returns, we know from other prophecies concerning the second coming of Messiah, the majesty of the kingdom will be established on earth. And John tells us the time duration for that. It will last 1,000 years from Jerusalem. So from the stump of Jesse shall grow a shoot low to the ground, but not without fruit. Eventually this shoot will become a tree of majesty and grandeur in its own right. And that awaits, of course, until the time of the second coming of Messiah. Then the prophet Isaiah goes on to say that this lowly descendant, this descendant from the lowly, broken down lineage of Jesse through David, upon him God will give him his spirit, the spirit of the Lord. And I like what several Bible commentators, particularly messianic scholars like Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum in his book, Messianic Christology. He likens the Spirit of the Lord here in verse 2. There are 7 different attributes or characteristics of the Spirit of the Lord that the Messiah will possess with a perfect possession and without measure. And he likens these 7 characteristics of the Spirit of the Lord that will rest upon this messianic descendant from the house of Jesse. He likens these 7 characteristics to the Jewish menorah, the 7-branch lampstand. The Spirit of the Lord is mentioned once, followed by 3 more references to the spirit of each. Each one followed by 2 attributes. And I cover this prophecy concerning this point extensively in our Illuminations from Isaiah series that I give at our local Messianic congregation here in Dallas, Shalom Shalom. So if you want to listen to that, you can on our website under Books and Media. We have all of the lessons from Isaiah on that. It really gets into this prophecy. So Jesus would be born in the house of David. He would come through lineage of Jesse. That means he would have to be born in Bethlehem because Jesse and his family lived there. And since David was Jesse's son, he lived there too. Messiah would also be born in great poverty. And Joseph and Mary were a poor couple. We know this because I believe the Torah requires that after the 8th day of birth, it was required by the law in Leviticus 12, 1 through 8, that the mother was to go to the temple and make a sacrifice for her ritual cleansing. This had to be a blood sacrifice, and 2 offerings were acceptable. Now, normally the law required that it would have to be a lamb, a pigeon, or a dove. Well, since a lamb was much more expensive to purchase for sacrifice than a pigeon or a dove, Joseph and Mary offered the pigeon and dove because the law made a provision for the poor to substitute these 2 birds for the more expensive lamb. And furthermore, we are told in Luke's gospel that Mary, the mother of Jesus, could only afford the 2 birds. Both Mary and Joseph, we learn from Luke's gospel, were descendants of David. And so the abject poverty of the house of David is made clear by these offerings. Yet, from this poor beginning, the stump of Jesse, the Messiah himself, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord would rest, the Holy Spirit would be given to him without measure, exhibiting the knowledge of the Lord, his counsel, his wisdom, his understanding, his power, and the fear of the Lord. And this, the Spirit of the Lord was given to the Messiah, Jesus, without measure. he had the fullness of the Spirit. John 3:34 tells us this. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. And the New Testament teaches that all who believe in Jesus as Messiah are given a portion or a measure of the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit within specified limitations. In contrast to the Messiah who had the Holy Spirit without measure, he possessed the Spirit in fullness. Now, the reason why you and I, as believers in the body of Messiah, His church, are given the Holy Spirit with a measured limitation is because each one has different gifts and ministries. No one ever has all of the gifts operating in their full, unlimited capacity, because God has ordained that the members of the church are to be mutually dependent upon one another. So the eye can't act independent of the brain and the mind, nor can the foot act independent of its toes. Each organ, each member of the body must work in unison. If one were to have more of the Spirit than another and have it in fullness, we know that it would create great disharmony. But not so with this one who would come from the house of Jesse. And before we pass on from this great messianic prophecy, Isaiah 11:1-2, we note that the seven characteristics of the Spirit of the Lord that would rest upon Him again denote completion and perfection, because in Scripture, the number seven means perfection, completeness, or fullness by God. And so, the sevenfold nature of the Spirit in Isaiah 11:12 is therefore indicative of the measureless fullness of the Spirit that would be given to Messiah, as told us in John 3:34. And it is not without coincidence, in reference to the sevenfold Spirit of Isaiah 11:1-2, that God's Spirit is called, He is called the seven spirits four times in the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:4, 3:1, 4:5, and 5:6. Four times the Spirit of God is called the seven spirits. No doubt referring to his seven qualities, characteristics, and attributes. Well, we've seen here that the ancestry of Messiah would go through the lineage of Jesse and further be narrowed to and through his youngest and eighth son, David, who would become king of Israel. Thus, over a 500-year period, the prophecy of an eternal king to arise from David is repeated over and over again, not only by David himself, especially in his Psalms, by his son Solomon, and by the prophets. One can take his Bible concordance and look up all the references to David in the Old Testament, and then you will see and be able to match them with almost 60 I think it's actually the number is 58, but nearly 60 complementary passages in the New Testament where David is mentioned in relationship to Jesus being his descendant as the son of David, and hence the Messiah, because the Messiah would be the son or the descendant of David. And Jesus was. If Jesus was going to be the Messiah, he had to be the son of David. And this has been proven through, historically proven, and documented through the genealogies to come in the Old Testament, starting with Jesse and through David and his descendants, all the way to the genealogies of Jesus given in Matthew and Luke. The evidence and the proof is there. You either accept it or you reject it. And in your resistance in accepting that, you'll try to explain away those scriptures as the anti-Yeshua or anti-Jesus Jewish organizations do. When they try to explain away all the messianic prophecies and say either they are not messianic or they were not fulfilled by Jesus, when their own rabbis stated centuries and several thousand years before, going back to the time of Jesus, that these same prophecies pointed to a Messiah. Well, we see that Jesus, throughout the New Testament, is acclaimed the son or the descendant of David, and therefore the successor to his throne, upon that throne which he, Jesus the Messiah, would establish his rule forever. Jesus Christ, the son of David, Matthew 1:1. Here are the various fulfillments of the messianic prophecy. The Messiah would be a descendant of David, and their fulfillment in Jesus. He is called the son of David in Matthew 1:1. In Luke 1:32, we are told the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. That's in reference to Jesus when he was born. Matthew 22:42, the Lord asked the Parashim, the Pharisees, "What think you of Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." Romans 1:3, Paul tells us, "Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh." The crowd, wondering about the marvelous teaching of Jesus, said in John 7:42, "Messiah comes from the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was." Then the angels told the shepherds, keeping watch over their flocks outside of Bethlehem, they told them this at the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Lord." Jesus himself said he was the Messiah, or he was the root and offspring of David, and thus the Messiah, when he states in Revelation 22:16, "I am the root and the offspring of David." And remember what the crowds, the multitude, said as they hailed Jesus on Palm Sunday when he was being escorted into Jerusalem on a donkey. They cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David," Matthew 21:9. So the multitudes were acclaiming him the Messiah because they were familiar with the stream of prophecies given in the Old Testament stating, predicting that the Messiah would come through David's lineage. He would be a descendant of David himself. And so we see that the scores of prophecies made concerning the Messiah and his ancestry are beautifully and exclusively fulfilled in the man from Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, proving once again that he alone is the prophesied Messiah who came to Israel and will come again. And you can put your trust in him. If God keeps his word concerning sending the Messiah to save the world, and you believe upon him, he will keep his word to save you and to reveal this marvelous Messiah to you in his love, forgiveness, and power. Well, I see I've run out of time. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.